This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
With Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Hey Rob, quick history lesson for you. Did you know that the first tax records were found etched on ancient clay tablets?
Yeah, I'd not realised how old you are, Martin, and clay tablets are great though, but they're not exactly compatible with the latest digital tax innovations like making tax digital, are they?
No, they're not. People weren't thinking future-proofing back then. But for our listeners, you know, if they're moving clients from similar old-school methods to digital records, there is a famously friendly accounting software solution for the UK's smallest businesses.
It's funny you should mention that. I was a judge at the recent Digital Accountancy Forum Awards, and that was a collection, Martin, of the great and the good in the accounting world. All the top networks, associations, alliances, some of the biggest vendors there. They were big on awards as well, and it just made me think Free Agent is who you're talking about, isn't it? And they've won a lot of awards for their integrations and platforms about being really easy to use. And clients can use it on mobile or tablet.
And not just the clay kind. Rob, where do accountants and bookkeepers go who really want to accelerate their clients' journey to the cloud? What would you recommend they do?
I'd recommend they go and get a free trial at freeagent.com/tablet, because once you get into this, you experience it, you see how easy it is to use, you'll probably be a client for life. Welcome to our special expert this week. It's Geraldine Carter. Good day to you.
Hello, Rob.
Geraldine, for people that haven't met you, tell us your answer to the question, what do you do?
I consult for CPAs and I help them improve their prices.
Pricing is a great topic. Why is it such a contentious issue for CPAs and accountants?
Well, I should hope that it's not contentious and that it's a really obvious thing to want to improve, because it makes such a difference so quickly, and you can improve your prices this evening and be more profitable tomorrow morning. It's the single longest lever that you can pull, the easiest in your business, that makes a big difference.
Accountants must struggle with this, else you wouldn't be teaching them this, would you?
The traditional way of pricing, which is not pricing, it's hourly billing, but billing in arrears is not pricing, it's not the same thing. And it's old, it's ineffective, it creates all kinds of problems. I like to say that it is like nuclear waste. It touches every surface. It is invisible, and given enough time, it will kill you. So when you learn how to price, your life gets easier, your clients get better, your relationships get better with your clients, their results get better, and it just creates an upward spiral. So I appreciate that in the industry that hourly billing is sort of the old school way of doing it, and it's been around forever, and it's in air quotes tried and true, but that doesn't make it good.
You've got a technical engineering background, haven't you? Does that bring a scientific approach to pricing? Because it can be quite an emotional, subjective topic, can't it?
You know, in engineering, we like to say, if you're going to estimate a spherical cow, right? We're always estimating. We can't get exact things, but we can approximate. Being able to solve problems that are endlessly complex, when it comes to a CPA's life and a CPA's business, there's a lot going on, but we need to estimate in order to plan for capacity, in order to figure out what revenue is going to be, and try and go way out into the future and then figure out the solution, reverse engineer, if you will. And then from the pricing side, like you say, the emotionality of it, I had a podcast guest on, so I do, of course, have a podcast. And my guest said, you know, all pricing is really just made up, which for an accountant is kind of a record scratch, because they want precision and formulas, and we love formulas to be able to calculate things. But at the end of the day, pricing is like beauty. It is entirely subjective. And what one person will say, one person will spend for a thing, is different than what another person will spend for the very same thing. And therefore, we need to get comfortable with the idea of subjectivity when it comes to pricing. And then how we actually get to pricing, prices for a CPA, is to test what their clients will pay. We reduce the emotionality, if you will, by simply testing within certain guardrails what their clients will pay, then kind of back into something that has the feeling of being formulaic, even though it's entirely subjective.
But what else do accountants misinterpret when it comes to pricing?
Anything that is not hourly tends to get called value. What most accountants are doing and what is being taught as in air quotes value-based fees is not really value-based fees. It's more flat rate, it's parameters.
Is that similar to fixed pricing, Geraldine?
Yeah, sure. So flat rate, fixed pricing. So whereas value-based fees, I think of having a conversation with one-on-one with your client, with your prospect about what the value is to them, and asking a series of questions that help you ascertain the value of the service, of the outcome to the buyer.
There are some elements of value that are extremely tangible. We talk about ROI and metrics and downloads or sales or new clients, and that's very measurable. But a lot of value is less tangible. How do you go about quantifying it when you're putting a price in place?
So you as a seller can't quantify, only your buyer can do it. So the conversation goes something like this. So I'll pretend that I'm the seller and I would say to the buyer, let's just pretend that we could create all these things, we could generate all these outcomes, we could really hit a home run into the upper deck. Sorry for you, Brits, that's a really great thing, right? So let's pretend that it could be amazing and we'll get all the outcomes and we'll really knock it out of the park. What would that be worth to you? And then you just pretend and you'd be a little bit ridiculous and you anchor it way out at the end and you say, would that be worth you? I don't know, like $10 million, $1 million, $100,000, $250,000, $50. Give me a sense here of what we're talking about. At that point, because you've given them such a spread, they'll be able to narrow it just based on their gut, which I realize is uncomfortable for accountants, right? We want the formula, but they'll say, I don't know, $250,000, $300,000. And so now at that point, they have quantified their squishy thing. You go back to your desk and you plan the scope for what you could do to meet the outcomes at a variety of different price points.
I love your idea of giving them a range to pick from, because when you ask somebody, what's that worth to you? That's a very difficult number to pick out. And I use a similar technique when I'm closing deals and chasing prospects in terms of that next touch point. And instead of saying to them, when do you want me to follow up or when's good to pick this up again? I will say, when's best for us to speak again? A couple of months, a couple of years, a couple of weeks, you tell me.
Exactly that. By giving them the broad range, they can help narrow, and it's totally by gut.
There are other tools that help with this, technology, tables, metrics, checklists, things like that. Because if they say £250,000, that's what it's going to be worth to me, you don't charge them £250. You've still got to come up with a price, have you?
So you can think about a 5-to-1 or a 10-to-1 ROI. Most people will happily go for a 10-to-1 ROI. 5-to-1 ROI is still pretty good. And you're kind of gauging how badly do I want the client? You're gauging how much risk am I taking on? How much risk are they taking on? And all these other things in the background. But just in terms of what tools can you use, because I think what CPAs and accountants are really looking for, like, help me get started on thinking differently and offering a different methodology, if you will, for my pricing. What I do with my clients, we identify different subsets of their clients and we create bronze, silver, gold. So broadly speaking, typically there's a bucket of clients between 100K and 500K in annual revenue. There's one between 500K and a million. There's one for 1 to 5 million and maybe 5 million on up. Or you can, you know, if you're a larger firm with clients with more in revenue, you can move those buckets. And then for each one of those buckets, you're going to design bronze, silver, gold level of services for that bucket. And it will include the whole list of services that you might offer. And you make it gold by speeding up the response time, by adding more white glove, more concierge level services. And you make it bronze by kind of stripping it down to the very basic so that you present your client with three options from which they can choose. And the service that you've designed is targeted to them in their revenue range. Because the business owner at $10 million needs a very different set of services than the business owner at $100,000.
That makes really good sense. When we look at the compliance advisory debate, we know that there's downward pressure on the regular things that accountants do. Those fees are evaporating with automation and tech and everything else. So when we move into the advisory realm, it is more consultative, it is more project-based, so it does require a different attitude to pricing.
If automation is going to do anything, it's going to kill hourly billing. If you understand and appreciate the value of pricing, then automation is your friend. And if you don't, then automation is your enemy. Automation is going to make stuff that you do that's so much faster. But the outcome to the buyer is exactly the same. They don't care whether you've done it with a pencil or whether you've done it with a computer. They just want to be able to make clear decisions based on the numbers you've given them.
I can see the value of moving off hourly billing for project-based work, as we've spoken about. But a lot of the work that accountants and CPAs do is still compliance-based, which lends itself to the way they've done it for hundreds of years, the hourly billing. So are you advocating that accountants move away from hourly billing even for the regular compliance?
Yeah, so I would take issue with, you know, they've always done compliance this way and compliance lends itself to hourly billing. I would say that you can still flat rate compliance and you can take your clients for whom you do compliance and group them by what you do for them and you can flat rate among, so in the US we have 1040s. So for your orphan 1040s, you only do their personal return, that's flat rate. The easiest place to start when getting off of hourly billing is with the work that you do again and again and again and again, and you have a sense of the scope, and you know that with a bell curve, 95% of the time it's going to come in under X amount of hours. Not that I'm advocating cost plus or hourly plus, but there's just not a lot of value. There's not a lot of extra money to squeeze from the tax, the compliance sponge. you're not going to make, like, it's something of a loss leader, if you will, and you're using it to get those recurring revenue clients who want more service, more value all year round.
And presumably when you work with CPAs, one of the first things you tell them is to raise their existing prices, not necessarily create a different formula for the prices, but put the prices up. And that probably always gets pushback, doesn't it? Why should accountants be scared of putting up their prices?
They shouldn't be scared of putting up their prices. They should welcome it. They're scared because they get a lot of pushback on price, downward price pressure, because they tend to sell services and they position it as, you know, if you were to sell me ice cream and just sell me that it was cream and vanilla and sugar and an egg yolk, I'd be like, that doesn't really sound that good. But if you position it as ice cream, now you've got my attention. If you sell the outcomes and the value of the outcomes, now that's a different game. And suddenly, you get less pushback on the price.
What would you say to accountants that are in a perhaps larger firm? The fees are set by the firm. There's scorecards or fee rates or rate cards, whatever you call them. And they don't necessarily have the scope or wriggle room to deal with different fees.
I'd say go out on your own. If you're not going to get your partner to buy in, I don't know what recourse you have other than to either tolerate it or take a flyer and go out and capture that profit for yourself.
They're probably the wrong kind of clients if they're really price sensitive, right?
I can appreciate the perspective that it has worked this way for hundreds of years. These changes are not insubstantial, and they do require that it, you know, goes throughout the firm. You can't just do this willy-nilly one-off. It doesn't make sense. The firm needs to commit to making a significant shift, and there will be challenges that need to be worked out. There's no doubt about that. But the rewards are significant.
This has been great, Geraldine. If people want to find out more about what you do, what's a good way for them to reach?
The best place to go is to check out my podcast, Business Strategy for CPAs. And if listeners want a daily drip of business strategy, they can subscribe to my daily drip of great advice at shethinksbigcoaching.com.
Geraldine, leave us with a final thought, a message of hope, if you like. What happens when CPAs and accountants get better at pricing?
Well, their lives get easier. I mean, they get their lives back, right? And they start to pick their head up and go, oh, there's all these aspects of my personal life that I now get to tend to. They get to play with their kids. They have better relationships at home. They get to reinstate self-care, go on walks and runs. They get to have that while making the same amount, if not more, money.
You definitely made the sale there. That's great. Geraldine, thank you so much for your time, your passion, and your insights today.
Thanks, Rob. Lovely to be with you.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Martin, Accountex just gets bigger and bigger, doesn't it?
It does. And it's the biggest, I'd say biggest show in Europe. And I'm thinking maybe the biggest show in the world. What we know for sure is the one-stop shop for digital and in-person events. With the following it's built over the years, Accountex packed a punch that's with events that are dedicated to both the accounting and finance professionals.
Yeah, and it's all CPD accredited as well. They've got a virtual summit coming up, 10th, 11th of November, which is free to attend. And they've got some interesting topics coming up there, haven't they?
Digital assets, social mobility, future of cloud accounting, commercializing opportunities for NTD, penalty reform, not your normal lineup.
Yeah, and it's all ramping up to the big event they've got going on in London at the Excel Arena. It's the largest in Europe. And if you want your CPD points, if you want to find out what's happening, don't forget to book that in your diary for the 11th and 12th of May. And there's a website they can go to, Martin.
Yeah, accountex.co.uk, or indeed follow them on Twitter at @accountex. That's @accountex.